grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A drop in a bucket. Not much, really. You can't even see it from here, can you? A drop in a bucket. Just one little drop. You know, one drop in a bucket isn't really going to stop me from being able to use this bucket, will it? I can still put my tools in here. I could put some shop rags in here still. It wouldn't get anything that wet. A drop in a bucket. Now imagine this drop represents one single sin. My sin. Maybe a little sin, a sin of omission, something that I didn't do that I should have done. Maybe I was a little too focused on myself. Maybe I got too busy. My time, my perspective, my opinion seemed more important than those around me. One drop in a bucket, that's okay, right? It's not really hurting anyone. Oh, but sin. Sin is insidious. Left unrecognized, unacknowledged, and repentance is impossible. One unconfessed sin leads to another. Another drop in a bucket. The bucket is still usable with two drops. It'll be okay, won't it? But the problem is, the devil is always looking for a way to separate people from God, to fill them up with something other than God, to fill them with sin, which separates us from our holy heavenly Father, one drop at a time. And he's pretty good at it too. Left unchecked because of pride or maybe fear that I don't have enough time or money or approval from other people, whatever it is, my sin adds up one at a time. And the day goes on, day after day. And then I look around and I see other people's sin in my life, my family, my friends, on the news, even in the church. And I'm tempted to think that my sins aren't that bad. It's just a few drops in a bucket compared to such and such or so and so. And before I know it, the bucket, well, it starts to fill up. Now the bucket isn't as usable as it once was. If I put tools or my towels in there, that wouldn't be good, would it? What am I to do? Last week, we celebrated Jesus' baptism. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist calls him this morning in the Gospel of John. He didn't need to be baptized for himself, as we said last week. He was without sin. He was baptized for you, because baptism is for you. It could be easy to miss the connection between Jesus' baptism and your own. I mean, we don't get a lot of details from the four Gospels. Last week we heard the fullest account of Jesus' baptism from Matthew chapter 3. Five verses in all, a fairly short section compared to his death and resurrection, of course. For comparison, the Gospel of Mark has just three short verses. Luke records two verses. And John, well, in typical John fashion, we get more of an impression this morning than we do of the details of the event itself. But the important thing to know is that all four testimonies from Scripture, no matter how long or short, all capture two things in this life-changing event, and they both confirm that baptism is for you. In each gospel, we see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, and second, we hear the witness, the testimony from heaven that Jesus is the Son of God. The synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three, record the Father's voice actually from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." And John, always being a little different, records the testimony that John the Baptist received directly from God. In verse 34, we hear John's words, "I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So why are these two details captured by all four gospel writers? Today, I hope you will see how the Holy Spirit and the word of testimony from God connect Jesus' baptism to every other baptism since, making holy baptism a life-giving event that changes the world and the destiny of multitudes of people, including your own. In a very tangible way, the Spirit and the Word of God the Father testify that there is more than just water here at the baptismal font. The Spirit testifies to the true power of baptism when He descends on Jesus like a dove. John the Baptist says, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he it is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." You see, in baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, don't we? Even before the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh on that first Pentecost day, He descended on Jesus when He was baptized. So now Jesus is both the one who redeems the world through His sacrifice on the cross, and also the one who has the power and authority to give the Holy Spirit to all who are baptized. Remember, John only baptized with water to lead people to repentance. Only the Lamb of God, the one who comes after John and yet was before him, only Jesus can forgive sins and lead people into life and salvation. As for the testimony of God, the Gospel of John is unique, as I've said. The words of John the Baptist are the testimony from heaven that Jesus is the servant of the Lord upon whom God will pour out His Spirit from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. He will not only bring back the preserved of Israel, as we just heard in the Old Testament reading, but God will make him a light for the nations that His salvation may reach to the end of the earth, which is where we find ourselves today from the narrative, right? That's good news for us. The Bible makes it clear that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working faith turn the waters of baptism into a life-saving flood. We hear this prayer at every baptism here at Messiah that recounts the testimony of God's faithfulness in baptism, and so I want to read a part of that prayer for you. It's sometimes called the flood prayer. Familiar words if you've seen a few baptisms in your life. Hear these words again, though. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood of Noah. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. The Bible makes it clear that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are working faith to turn the waters of holy baptism into a life-saving flood. And sometimes I think we are a little reluctant to fully make this connection between Jesus' baptism and ours. Maybe out of reverence, not wanting to compare ourselves with the holiness of Jesus, and that's good to a point. But the danger is that we risk diminishing the full power and identity and witness that God has given us in our own baptism. So that now you are truly God's redeemed and precious child. And in the busyness of life, we too often forget that. And so I want you to do something that will get you out of your comfort zone for a minute. I want you to turn to a person next to you and say, "You are God's redeemed and precious child." That's good. I love to hear that. We need to hear that. We need to say that from time to time. And some may ask me, if they're listening online and maybe not a member of this congregation, "How do you know this, Pastor? After all, I don't know everything that everyone in this room has done. I don't know where your heart is at right now. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. And even if I did, I'm not the judge." And I got to tell you that even as your pastor, whew, that's a relief. Because I can't carry it all. I'm not meant to. The burden is too great for me or for Pastor Roger or for any man for that matter. By the way, just a little segue. If there is a besetting sin that is haunting you, that's getting in the way of you finding peace, we have a way to deal with that. We call it private confession. For those sins that you have been carrying around for a while that you can't get peace with, private confession in the pastor's office is a practice that goes back to the earliest days of the church. I don't want you to ever think or feel that you have to hide your sin for fear of being judged by Pastor Roger or me. So I want you to hear these words again that you just said earlier in the service. If we confess our sin, what? God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beautiful words. These words are for you and for every baptized believer. These words are for me and for my brother Roger too. So that if God forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, who are we as God's instruments to not forgive those who come to us privately and confess? We will have a special time for private confession again during the season of Lent, but don't just wait till Lent if there is something on your heart. So back to the question, how do I know that you are God's redeemed and precious child? That brings me to this bucket. How I know is because you are baptized, and God promised it, and He guaranteed it in His Word, that Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us and took away the sin of the world when Jesus died on the cross. And so Jesus says, "Follow me. Follow me." And so we follow him into baptism, right? Where our old Adam is drowned, and dies, we bring our sin, and by the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit pointing to Christ, our Savior, we are cleansed. We are made God's precious, redeemed and precious child. It's called a means of grace for our confirmands. We've been studying means of grace, right? There's one in the front here. Yeah, the means of grace. It's the means by which God delivers his grace from heaven into this world and into our lives. And your life and your destiny is changed forever because you are God's redeemed and precious child. Now, these drops in the bucket are not so easy for us to overlook anymore because you who are baptized have been washed clean from your sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that comforts you with the assurance of God's grace also convicts you of your sin. Not somebody else's sin, I gotta say it. Right? It's too easy. Convicts you of your sin. To show you your need for a Savior. You need the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And this is our testimony, the same testimony of John the Baptist. Baptism is for you. And this is why when Andrew found Jesus one day, the day after Jesus' baptism, this disciple ran and found his brother, Simon Peter. And Jesus said to them both, "Come, come and see." And they followed Jesus into baptism and with the rest of their lives. As we move into our new building next week with the dedication, it feels like there's a new chapter here at Messiah. May we always remember our baptism and trust that by the power of the Holy Spirit who is working in each one of us and by the word of God's testimony revealed at Jesus' baptism, the waters of your baptism have become a holy flood by God's faithfulness that washes away all your sin and all of our sin together and keeps you and me in the one true faith to life everlasting. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.